That I have here in preaching the Word of God, and that just means that we're of the same spirit. You know, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. I thank the Lord to see a church that supports their pastor, you know, in the meeting, and just doesn't leave the whole burden on him. That's a blessing to see, you know, the church taking up and helping the pastor with the meals and the breaking down, the cleaning, everything that's done. You know, that's a big help to your pastor, and we thank the Lord for that. I just thank the Lord for being able to meet you, get to know you a little better. You get to know me a little better, and that's how you build relationships, you know, that's what Christianity and the Lord's church is all about, relationships, you know. And I'm thankful that now I know another sister church, you know, in a different part of the country that's standing faithful to the Word of God, you know, and contending for the faith once and for all delivered unto the saints. That's important. There's so many that aren't anymore, you know. There's so many that had the Baptist name that have dropped the Baptist name, and that's well, because they weren't practicing Baptist beliefs, you know, and distinctives and doctrines that we've held to ever since the days of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's so important for us to do. It's good to see young and old here. It's good to see. You might not have a lot of young, but you do have some, you know, and that's important. I'm sure everybody's looking forward to the baby that Daniel and his wife will bring into the church here, and that'll be a blessing to everybody, you know. I just thank God, you know, for the church, and to see how doctrinally sound you are as a church, and that's so important. All right, open your Bibles this evening to the book of Acts, and I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 8. We're going to be in chapter 8, 9, and 10 tonight. Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10. But I want to use Acts chapter 1, verse 8 as a springboard to the last message that I'll be preaching about missions. You know, the Lord Jesus said to his church that he established during the days of his earthly ministry. And by the way, Jesus was the first pastor of his church. He was the first, he was the best pastor, really. He's the example to all of us as pastors. He was a servant leader, you know, and we need to follow that example. But he said to his church that he established during the days of his earthly ministry, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You know, our world is rapidly growing and increasing because every second, 4.25 babies are born into the world. Now, I don't know how they get that 0.25, you know, but every second, 4.25 babies are born into the world, you know, and that means, you know, that every minute, 255 babies are born into the world. And that every hour, 15,300 babies are born into the world. And every day, 240,000 babies are born into the world. And every year, 90 million babies are born into the world. If you go back in time to creation until 1850, there were 1 billion people in the world from creation till 1850. And then from 1850 to 1930, there were 2 billion people on earth. And then from 1930 to 1960, there were 3 billion people on the face of the earth. And then from 1960 to 1975, there were 4 billion people on the face of the earth. And then from 1975 to 1980, there were 5 billion people. And then 1980 until now, there are 8 billion people on the face of the earth today. What a tremendous opportunity we have, my friend, to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel. You know, I heard of a missionary, you know, that was sent to Africa. It wasn't a missionary. It was a shoe salesman. I think you've heard this story before. He was sent to Africa, you know, to set up shoe stores. And he says, you know, he telephoned the company back home, and he says, you know, he says, this is the worst place to sell shoes because everybody here is barefoot. They don't wear shoes here. You know, he wasn't looking at the opportunity, you know. He was just looking at the bare feet, and he thought nobody bare. What a wonderful opportunity we have, my friend, with 8 billion people in the world to preach the gospel to. And you know, the book of Acts is a tremendous handbook for missionary endeavors. A tremendous handbook. And if we want to learn, my friend, how to establish local New Testament Baptist churches, my friend, around the world, all we have to do is study the book of Acts. You've heard my testimony. The first book I ever read after I got saved, when I got off my knees at the side of that old Air Force bunk bed, my friend, the first thing I did was reach into the desk between the bunk beds in our room and pull out the Bible that was placed there by the Gideons, and I read Acts, the entire book of Acts. And I realized that what we're supposed to be doing as Christians is that we're supposed to be preaching Jesus everywhere we go. Now, in the book of Acts, God has put together three chapters that tell of the conversion of three different people. So let's look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 32. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he, the Ethiopian eunuch, said, How can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb that was dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch said unto Philip, He said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. Then look at Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Acts chapter 9, 1 to 6. It says, And Saul, yet threatening out, let breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he, Saul, said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And then look at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. There was a man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayer and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. What I want you to see tonight is that God put missions in the trinity of these three chapters in the book of Acts, so we can learn about three different individuals who came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and were added to the Lord's church. You remember when Noah, after the flood, when Noah came out of the ark, he came out with three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And Genesis 9:1 says, And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, I want you to know, my friend, that the Ethiopian eunuch was a son of Ham. And Saul, the Jewish Pharisee, was a son of Shem. And Cornelius of the Italian band was a son of Japheth. And so in Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10, you have the three descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And so the Ethiopian eunuch and Saul of Tarsus and Cornelius of the Italian band in Acts chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, they represent the whole known world at that time. And there's three things that we can learn about these three men concerning missions this evening. First of all three of these men lived in a world of darkness. They lived in a world of darkness. So here we have the Ethiopian eunuch of Africa and Saul of Tarsus from the Middle East and Cornelius from Europe, and they all represent the people of the whole known world at that time. And even though the Ethiopian eunuch was a son of Ham and Saul was a son of Shem and Cornelius was a son of Japheth, yet they were all the sons of Adam. They were all the sons of Adam. And I want to clarify a misconception that many people have in the world today. And that misconception is that there are different races in the world. There's some people think there's different races. There's the black race, and there's the yellow race, and there's the red race, and there's the white race. But my friend, according to the Word of God, there is only one race in the world. And that race is the human race. The human race. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says, "And God hath made from one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth." The world of darkness that the Ethiopian eunuch and Saul of Tarsus and Cornelius of the Italian band lived in built hostile walls between them and said they were of different races. But that was not true. They were all the sons of Adam. They were all of the human race. They all had one blood flowing through their veins, and they all bled red. And because Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were all born sinners. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Verse 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." Verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." So even though all these three men came from different parts of the world, one from Africa, one from Asia, one from Europe, they were all of one blood. The same blood that flowed through the veins of Adam's, my friend, flowed through their veins. And because they were all born into a dark world of sin, they had that in common. They were all born into a dark world of sin. Second thing I want you to see is that all three shared a world of desire. All three shared a world of desire. These three men came from vastly different backgrounds. The Ethiopian eunuch was in the world of government and finances. Remember, he was a man of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was the secretary of treasury from Ethiopia. He was a man of power, prestige, intelligence, and wealth. Saul, on the other hand, was a man of religion and education. He was a scholar. He was a rabbi full of zeal. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 says, "Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul was a religious zealot who went around arresting Christians as enemies of Judaism to be jailed and killed. Then Cornelius was a military man of war. He was a soldier. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. You know, a centurion was a military officer in the Roman army in charge of 100 soldiers. So Cornelius was a man among men. He was a fighting warrior. They were all different. They were all different. Yet they all lived in a world of darkness. And even though they were all different, they all shared a world of desire. They all had a hidden desire. All three of them were on a hidden quest. The Ethiopian had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He had made that long journey from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, in hope of knowing God. And as he was riding in his chariot back to Ethiopia, it was then that the Lord spoke to Philip and said, "Philip, join yourself to that chariot." Well, can't you just see old Philip, my friend? I don't know, but I'm getting older now. I can't run as much as I used to. But can't you see? Here's the Ethiopian eunuch. He's riding in his chariot, and he's reading Isaiah 53, verse 7. It talks about Jesus being led as a sheep to the slaughter, and he was dumb and opened out his mouth. And the Lord said, "Philip, I want you to join yourself to that chariot." So can you see Philip? I mean, the Ethiopian eunuch, he's riding along in that chariot, and here comes Philip. "Hey!" And the eunuch says, "What?" He said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man show me?" And then Philip came up and showed him. He said, the Ethiopian eunuch said, "Of who's the prophet writing of? Is he speaking of himself or some other man?" And Philip opened his mouth and said, "He's speaking about Jesus. This is Jesus." He had a hidden desire to know God. Listen, if you want to know God, God is going to reveal himself to you. If you want to know God, he will reveal himself to you. I don't care, my friend, if you're in the darkest part of Africa or the South American jungles, my friend. If you have a desire to know God, God will send somebody to you. Just like he sent Philip to that Ethiopian eunuch who was riding in a desert. A desert! They all had a hidden desire. Saul was traveling on the road to Damascus with a letter in his hand, from the high priest of Jerusalem to give him authority to arrest Christians at Damascus and bring them back to Jerusalem, to be jailed and killed, when suddenly a bright light shone round about him and he was knocked off his beast of burden. Saul was zealous for God. He thought he was doing this for God. And the Lord said to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul knew, hey, God's talking to me. He thought he was serving God. And God is saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And the Lord said, and Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then the Lord said, "I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus." And Jesus was letting Saul know, when you persecute Christians, you are persecuting me. My friend, that's why I can't understand why Baptist church members can't get along, and why they'll backbite one another. They'll have church splits, and how can you do that? How can you do that to the body of Christ? This is the bride of Christ. You understand that? I think there's far too many church members to treat the church like it. Like it's the Lord's girl, like it's a girlfriend. The church is not a girlfriend. You can break up and have your spats with and turn around, "Oh, I'm sorry about that." No, the church is the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. We're to love one another because Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. We're to love what he loves. But here was Saul thinking he was serving God. You know, he was zealous to serve God, persecuting Christians, gets knocked down off his beast of burden. And the Lord says, "Why persecutest thou me?" And Saul says, "Who art thou?" And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And then he said the right thing, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what?" See, all three of these men had a hidden desire. It was a desire for God. It was a desire to God. And sometimes people go, many people go in a wrong way in their desire for God. And Cornelius of the Italian band, you know, it says he was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to God and prayed to God always. God saw the desire in his heart. God saw that and sent an angel when he saw that desire in his heart. We need to realize, my friend, that we live in a world of darkness out there for those who live in a world without Christ. That's a world of darkness for those that live without Christ. And there's a world of desire made up of people in this world of darkness, my friend, who are searching for God. There's people out there. You know, that's why we knock doors, that's why we pass tracks, because we just might come across one, my friend, that wants to get saved. That's right. When Sergeant Catmore witnessed to me, he didn't know what was going on in my life. He didn't know that he was the answer to my cry, crying out to God and shedding tears. "God, please help me. Show me the way. How can I change my life?" Because all I did is go from a street gang and change uniforms. You know, I took off my street colors, you know, and put on the colors of United States Air Force. But I was still the same sinner inside. But there, I had a world of desire in me. I did, to know God and to change my life, but I couldn't do it on my own. God saw that. God sent Sergeant Campmore into my heart and life. The Ethiopian eunuch, Saul of Tarsus, Cornelius of the Italian band, had a hidden desire to know God. Every man, every woman, every boy born into this world, they are born into a world of darkness because of sin. But my friend, there's a desire there to know God. Ecclesiastes 3:11, "He hath set the world in their hearts." That world, my friend, I mean, it's talking about a world of eternity. There's that desire for a world of eternity. That world is not here. You understand that? This is not a world of eternity. This is a temporal world. But he had set the world in our hearts, that world of eternity. He had set a desire in everybody's heart for a world of eternity. This is why we have people, you know, people that seek power, people that seek pleasure, people that seek whatever it might be, finances, money, you know. And they want to make a name for themselves because they have that desire for a world of eternity, to live beyond this life. They're searching for God. But there's an emptiness in their hearts that only the world can fill. Everybody has that desire. They want to live forever. You see, that everybody has that desire. So they build their empires, you know, so that when they're gone, they're still talked about. You know, that's just an effort to live forever. That's all it is. All these mega churches, let me tell you, that's just an effort on their part to live forever, okay? That's what it is. But let me tell you something, my friend. That's not where it's at. The only one who can fill that world of eternity, that desire for eternity, the eternal world, is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can fill that. And we need to realize that in this world of darkness, my friend, we need to tell people who the light is. The light of the world is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We need to let people know that. We need to let people know when You know, they're trying to find fulfillment in whatever it may be, whatever pleasure, whatever position, whatever they're seeking. You know that the only satisfaction is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Lord. And all three of these men experienced a world of a difference when they met Jesus. When they met Jesus. Notice what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. And then right after that, they came by a body of water. And the Ethiopian said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Philip said, "Let's go down into the water." Remember in Acts chapter 9, verse 5, when Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" He says, "Arise. Arise, go into Damascus and find a disciple named Ananias, right? Yeah, find Ananias, and he'll tell you what you need to do." Remember, in the same thing with Cornelius. The angel of the Lord told Cornelius, you go and find Peter. Peter's going to come and you're going to find, he's going to tell you what to do. And Peter preached unto him Jesus. That's what we need to preach. We need to preach Jesus. When I got saved, that's Sergeant Catmore, that's what he preached to me every day. Jesus. Every day. He talked about Jesus like Jesus was his best friend. You know, let me tell you one incident that happened when I was there. I'm going to end with this. When I was working in the command post with Sergeant Catmore, there were airmen working in the command post, the dark room, you know. There was officers, and there was one young airman, probably about my age, about 22 years old. And he came to Sergeant Catmore, and he said, "Sergeant Catmore, I've got a complaint." He said, "There's this tech sergeant that gets drunk every weekend. He gets drunk every weekend. And he says, Saturday night he comes pounding on my door." This tech sergeant, he's black. The tech sergeant's black. This young 22-year-old airman is white. He says, "Tech sergeant so-and-so comes pounding on my door. And he starts cursing me out, saying, 'Open the door, you blankety blank redneck, open the door. I'm going to kick your, you know.'" And the airman says, I tell him, "Stop." Just through the door, "Stop." He said, "I'm going to report you to Sergeant Capmore. I don't care if you report me to Sergeant Capmore." He says, "You know, I don't care." He says, "I'll tell Lieutenant Colonel Flanagan, I don't care. Blankety blank, Capmore, blankety blank, the captain." And so the airman says, "He does this every weekend that he gets drunk. He picks on me because I'm white." And he says, "Sergeant Capmore, I've got a tape recorder here." And I'm in the office. Me and Sergeant Capmore, I'm facing Sergeant Capmore. Sergeant Capmore's facing me. Our desk faced each other. And the airman plays it. And Sergeant Catmore listens to that tape. Boom, 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 boom. "Open that door, you honky. Open that door, you redneck. I'm going to kick your butt," you know. And then he said, "I'm going to tell Sergeant Catmore." Cursed out Sergeant Catmore. "I'm going to tell Lieutenant Colonel Flanagan." Cursed out Lieutenant Colonel Flanagan. Sergeant Catmore stopped it. And he turned red. I mean, he was like a thermometer. Sergeant Catmore's face got red, red, red. And I'm sitting here watching him. And he says to the airman, "You inform Sergeant, Tech Sergeant Edgewater. I'm going to inform Sergeant Edgewater that he needs to report to my office tomorrow. I am going to bust him. He can't talk that way to you. And he can't talk that way about Lieutenant Colonel Flanagan, my boss. He said, I'm going to take every stripe he has. So the next morning I get there early. I always got there right, you know, about 10 minutes to 8. Sergeant Kentmore always walked in right at 8 o'clock on the dot. He was there. So I'm sitting there. And after I'm there about 5 minutes, that tech sergeant walks in. He says, is this Sergeant Kentmore's office? I said, yes, sir. He sits right there. I said, you can have a seat in that chair right there. And he sat down. And Sergeant Kentmore walked in. This is not one day. He didn't take his hat off this day, okay, and say, praise the Lord for another day serving Jim. He didn't say that, okay. He sat down in his chair. He took off his cap. He said to the sergeant sitting there, he said, are you Sergeant, you know, Tech Sergeant so-and-so, Edgewater? He said, yes, I am, sir. He said, do you know Airman so-and-so that lives in the barracks where you live? He says, yes, sir, I know Airman so-and-so. He said, I have a tape recorder right here on the desk. He said, do you know what's on that tape recorder? He said, I'm afraid I do, sir. He said, when I heard that played yesterday, he said, I got upset. I got angry that you would talk to an airman that way and that you would talk about my boss, Lieutenant Colonel Flanagan, that way. He said, and I said in front of this airman, pointing to me, that I was going to bust you and take away every stripe. He said, but I want you to know something. He says, after I left the office that night and went home that evening, my wife and I got on our knees in prayer to pray about this incident. He said, and while I was on my knees in prayer, the Lord reminded me of what he did for me. The Lord reminded me of all the sins he forgave me of. And in essence, spoke to my heart that I should give you another chance. That's what he said to him. He said, do you understand that? To the tech sergeant. He said, yes, sir, I understand that. He said, I'm not going to bust you, but I am going to put an Article 15 in your records. I'm going to fine you $200 and put an Article of 15. When you get an Article 15 in your records, it goes in there for 6 months, and you can't have any promotions for that 6 months as long as it's in there. And he said to him, he says, and I want to say this, if this ever happens again, I will bust you. He said, but I am giving you a second chance because of what Jesus did for me. He said, do you understand that, Sergeant? Sergeant said, yes, sir. Thank you. You know, what a testimony that was to me. You know, as a young man, I wasn't saved yet, but I was watching him every day. I was watching Sergeant Kentmore every day, and I saw something I never saw in my whole life. I never seen anybody react like he did, the way he did in that incident. You know, and if we're going to win people to Christ, my friend, we need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. You know, and let men know that the life that we live and the things that we do because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. That's what Faith Promise Missions is all about. It's about getting the gospel to all the world, just like chapter 8, 9, and 10 tells us, you know, it was all the world, and realizing that all the world is in a world of darkness, but my friend, there are people out there with a hidden desire. They don't know. They don't know what it is. They're searching to fill that hidden desire of a world of eternity, my friend. It's not in this world. It's given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in an attitude of prayer.